All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would, with me this morning. And if you can. Sometimes people can't stand. But Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 21. I'm going to preach out of the whole chapter. Amen? I like expository preaching. I do preach topical, but I like expository. And we're going to preach out of the whole chapter today, this morning. I won't keep you quite till 3. I was thinking more like 1:30. So hopefully that works for you. All right? Let's look at verse number 21. The Bible says this, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to see the whole chapter throughout the message. Okay? But he says this, verse number 20, I'm sorry. We'll read 20 and 21. He says, "Now unto him..." Sorry, let me get my helpers on. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That's pretty exciting, amen? Works in us, the Holy Ghost, amen? "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen." Do you know what this church is put here to do? We get this idea that all we are is we're evangelists. This church has been put here to bring glory to God. That's it. Amen. People getting saved brings glory to God. People being edified in the assembly through teaching of the Word of God brings glory to God. We are here to bring glory to God. And so I want to talk to you about "unto him be glory" today. Let's have a word of prayer and then I'll let you sit down. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help me. I guess I'm getting old, Father, because I feel like I have jet lag and I haven't even been on a plane, Lord. I just pray that you would clear my thoughts today. Lord, that you would clear my speech. And that, Lord, you would lead and guide and direct in everything that is said and done here today. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit of God would be upon the preaching today and that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. Father, there is so much more in our Christian lives than just being saved. Lord, we are saved for a purpose, Lord, and that purpose is to bring glory to you. And so, Father, I pray today that you would open up the word of God here in Ephesians as Paul humanly pens what the Spirit of God is inspiring to the church at Ephesus. Lord, I pray we'd learn from it today. And Lord, if there's one here today that is not saved, I pray, Father, that today they would hear the gospel. Lord, come to Christ, repent, and believe on him today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This mic isn't... I'm on this mic, right? So can I do that? Okay, thank you. All right, so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21... As Paul comes to the end of the chapter, amen, and there's a few chapters more in the book, but as Paul comes to the end of the chapter here, he sums up the chapter at least, and really pretty much what he's talked about so far, in with this phrase, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And the Apostle Paul, if you wonder why your pastor and preachers say amen, and some of the brethren and sisters, is because it means so be it. Amen? That's literally what it means. So be it. If God said it, it doesn't matter if I agree with it. It's done. Amen? And so he says here, "Unto him be glory in the church." Now, the question today is not really how do we bring glory to God, or what's the source of us being able to bring glory to God in the church. Because he says, by Christ Jesus, amen? So anything that we do, and I don't know if you knew this, seriously, but if you study the book of Romans, Paul makes it very clear, actually the Spirit of God makes it very clear, that whatever is done in the flesh cannot please God. Do you know that you can be saved and serve God and come to church and do the things you're told to do from the Bible and do it in the flesh? Here's something that's interesting to me. I've seen people serve God in the flesh, and even though God says, and maybe they're ignorant of this, that it amounts to nothing. Amen? It amounts to nothing because it cannot please God. If I do something in the flesh, I get the glory. Amen? But if I do it in the Spirit of God and under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, then I see that God gets the glory. And that's how we get the glory. That's how God gets the glory from us as individual members, as a church, as an assembly of believers. It's through Jesus Christ. I've never seen anybody, though, that is unsaved, amen, or somebody that is saved that will not serve, that will not serve God. I've seen people unsaved and try to serve God and do a form of godliness, but I've never seen a saved person not able to serve God. And so I want to talk to you about how do we bring glory to God? We know it's through Christ. That's the answer that God gives us. But I believe it's summed up in two things. Now, when a Baptist preacher tells you he's going to preach on two things and not three things or four things, don't get excited and think it means like a 10-minute message, because that's never going to happen if you've ever heard me preach. Amen? But I want to give you two areas today that we're going to deal with in this idea of serving God, bringing glory to God through Christ. And even though it's through His power, and it has to be through His power, there are two avenues that God has given us. And I want you to look with me at verse number 1 and 2 for a moment, and notice what Paul says here to the church at Ephesus. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Let me tell you something. We get the idea when we read the word servant, and we are, whether you want to be or not, you, if you're born again today, you are a servant of God. And the word servant means slave. Literally, here's what kills me about people. It's like my son when he went into the army. I kid you not, we joke about this, but this is what he said. "Dad, I'm sick and tired of being told what to do, not by me, but by work and in the business world. I'm going to go join the army." I mean, that's like you go from one master to another master, right? When I got saved, all the transition was my master, my old father, spiritually the devil, my old master that I was in bondage to, all the transition was now I went from being a servant of the devil to being a servant of God. And Paul here says, "I'm a prisoner." Now, Paul's not complaining. We always look at certain things as negative words. Prisoner, slave, servant, master. We don't like those words. But in the Bible, these are good words. Amen. Paul is a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. You know what he's talking about? He's going to explain this. His ministry was to the Gentiles. And Paul's saying the grace that God gave me and they showed in my life, it came with responsibility, amen? And he says in verse 2 this, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." Now, all my life, since I've been saved, I've heard this word of dispensation or dispensational periods, amen? This word dispensation is not talking about a time frame. This word dispensation, look it up, it means administration of a household or a state. It deals with stewardship. Amen? And here's what Paul's saying about that. He says, "Ye have heard of the dispensation or the idea that I am a steward of the grace of God which is given to me toward you." Amen? So in other words, in God saving me and for me to bring glory in the church through Christ Jesus, I have to be a good steward of that which the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted me with when I was saved. Amen? And Paul was a good steward. And so I want to give you two areas of stewardship that I believe Paul deals with, the Spirit of God deals with, in chapter 3, in verses 1 all the way through 21. We're going to look at two areas today. Number one, we're going to look at the stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you and I, and this is something that it just seems you can't get across to people sometimes. It is not the responsibility of the pastor only to be a soul winner. None? It's not the responsibility of certain elect people, the assistant pastor or their families, to be soul winners. It's not their responsibility alone to give the gospel of Jesus Christ out. I'm going to say something to you, and you may not like this, and you may not, maybe you never thought of this before, but I'm going to tell you something amazing. Show me in the Bible when they assembled together that was the main place for evangelism. It wasn't. You know where they evangelized? They left the doors of the assembly. And in those days, they didn't even have doors in some of the assemblies. They met out in the open. They left the doors of the assembly. They left the assembly of the people. And they could not stop speaking and teaching about Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility as the stewards of God's things, the things that God has saved us and given us and the purpose in our life. And so we're going to look at two things. Stewardship of the gospel of Christ. But then we're going to look at, in closing, we are stewards of the purpose of Christ in our lives. Paul talks about an eternal purpose. Amen. God did not save you just to go to heaven. Amen. God saved you for a purpose in your life. And that purpose in the end is verse 21, to bring glory to God. Amen. And so let's get into this and let's look at what the Scripture says here. Notice with me, first of all, we are stewards of the gospel. In verses 3 through 10, he says this. And looking at verse number 3, first of all, Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body by partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am least or less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now I want to talk to you about three areas or three things concerning this idea of we're stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to bring glory unto God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in this church, Grace Baptist Church, if you're going to bring glory to God, you need to be a good steward, first of all, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, there are three considerations in this area of the gospel. Notice, first of all, the source of the gospel. Paul says in verses 1 through 3, he gives us the source. He says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Amen. This mystery, that the Gentiles would also hear the gospel, be saved, and also be a part of the New Testament church. Amen. What a glory. How many of you are Jews here today? Amen. How many of you are Jews by birth, by blood? Not religion. How many are Hebrews? Nobody. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the revelation that came to Paul that the Gentiles needed to hear the gospel also. Amen. You wouldn't be here today if Paul didn't obey this area of stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know where the gospel comes from? The Word of God. We get this idea that we're going to do this kind of lifestyle evangelism and just kind of live right, and hopefully people will come and say, wow, you're a Christian, aren't you? Tell me how to become a Christian. That's not happened very often in my life. If we're going to give the gospel out, if people are going to know the truth, amen, it comes by the preaching and the sharing of the Word of God to lost people, amen? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says here, 1 Corinthians 15. He says this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Amen? Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. These people at the church of Corinth, these members, they're saved by the gospel. Look what he says, though. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Let me ask you something. Do we have anywhere in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament for that matter, do we have any command to defend God? God never commanded you to defend him. God doesn't need you to defend him. We have a command to preach the Word of God. The Bible doesn't need me to validate it for it to be powerful. Do you understand? This is the only book in the world that when you read it, it affects people in a spiritual way. They can laugh at it. They can act like they don't agree with it. They can walk away from you as the preacher of the gospel, the proclaimer of the truth. But at the end of the day, the Spirit of God, the author of this book, goes with them. This Bible affects people. Jesus Christ, the Bible doesn't say He died according to the tales of men. The Bible doesn't say He died and was buried. And it goes on to say in the next verse that He rose again from the grave. He was buried and rose according to the Scriptures. My gospel, your gospel, the gospel that saved me at Detroit Avenue Baptist Church a few miles down the road in Cleveland, Ohio, is the same gospel that I preach today. It is from the Word of God, and it is the only gospel that saves. And you don't have to cheapen it. We don't have to preach, take out repentance. We don't have to take out faith. We don't have to soften the fact that men are sinners. We can preach this gospel straight from the Bible, and this source is still valid for today. Not only that, but look at the direction of the gospel. He says back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6, here's what the Spirit of God through Paul says. He says this, he says, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." That, the Gentiles, He's speaking about a direction here. He says this, that by the Gentiles, I'm sorry, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and, fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. You know, Paul's saying to the church at Ephesus, the Spirit of God is emphasizing, hey, Paul's saying, listen, me going to the Gentiles was the will of God before I went. I've got news for you, folks. Don't get upset and let the devil get you all afraid because we may be persecuted and because we're living in perilous times. Listen, God is still sovereign. Amen? God is still in control. And I've got news for you. God never is caught off guard. Amen? Never. God has a plan. And you know what? Even though the Jews in Jerusalem, when the church was started by Christ in that first assembly, and it was primarily, in fact, Jews, amen. And when Cornelius got saved, Peter comes back to the church of Jerusalem. And the Bible makes it clear that Peter was nervous that they were going to be upset because a Gentile got saved and baptized. And the Bible says when he told them of the grace of God, you know what the word grace means? God's divine influence in and upon the human heart and life, and its reflection on the outside. Grace is far more than just the mercy of God. It's God working in my life and moving in my life, like the preacher said, that God would even speak to me and be mindful of me as a sinner. Listen to this. Think about this. Paul said, Peter goes to the church and he tells him Cornelius got saved. The gospel, what he's saying to the church at Jerusalem is, hey, I don't understand this, but it looks like the gospel's going a little different direction than we thought. Now, I don't know what part of, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world that they didn't get. But Jews are very proud people, trust me. My own second cousin won't even talk to me because he asked me a simple question. What do you do for a living? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. It's not really a living, it's a calling, but I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Never heard from him again. I talked to his brother. I said, why doesn't he talk to me? He said, oh, because he thinks you're just a traitor to the Jewish people. I said, traitor? Jesus is Messiah, amen? So understand, this is a shock. Paul's telling the church at Ephesus here, hey, listen, I want you to know something. You are fellow heirs with the Jews. This is not a Jew thing. This is not a Gentile thing. This gospel is to be preached all through the world. Hey, listen to me. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew, amen, first, and also to the Greek. I had the Korean fellow that we've been witnessing to and having Bible studies with him, talking to him about his need of Christ. And he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, I don't understand. Jew and Greek, so Korean can't be saved?" I said, "The word Greek there, you look it up. The word Greek there is not talking about a Hellenistic Greek. It's talking about non-Jews." And he later says, "To the Jew and to the Gentile." Listen, the direction of the gospel is up to the Holy Spirit of God. Now I'm going to ask you something. Do you believe that if we live in the Spirit, I think somebody said this, I think it was Paul, right? If we live in the Spirit, then we should also walk in the Spirit. I had a guy, I like to lift weights. I did that when I played football here in Ridgeville, and I got to play later in life. I like lifting weights. So I was lifting weights one day, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, "I want you to go over to that fella there and give him the gospel and tell him that I sent you." Now, you may say, "Oh, I don't believe in that." So, you know what? We've allowed the charismatics to steal truth from us. Amen? We really have. Do you understand that God's Spirit actually will lead you just like the spirit of the devil will lead you? Now, listen. I walked over to this guy and I said, "My name is Jim Mayles. I'm a born-again Christian. And I said, I want to give you this gospel tract and talk to you about the Lord. God told me to do that." I thought he would think I was a nut. How many of you would be a little nervous about being portrayed as a nut? Amen? Thank you for being honest, preacher, because I'm not the only one. And he looks at me and he goes, "God told you to talk to me?" He said, "How do you know me?" I said, "I don't know anything about you." I said, "But I'm a born-again Christian, and the Spirit of God indwells me, and He leads me." Listen, this is not just a story. Do you understand the direction of the gospel? Let me ask you something. Well, let me tell you what he said. He comes up to me after, about a week later, he sees me, and he says, "Jim, can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Yeah." We sit down. He said, "You didn't know this, but," he said, "my life was in turmoil last week. And I went home and read every word of what that said." Now, he didn't profess to get saved. I don't know if he ever did because he moved away. But he said, "I need something in my life." Now, here's what I'm telling you. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you remember him? You remember he's in the chariot? What is the Bible? This isn't charismatic. This is Bible. What did the Bible say? The Bible says the Spirit of God said to him, "Go join thyself to his chariot." What did Philip do? Did he argue? See, we say these cliche things like, you know what, and we feel good about it. It makes us feel real spiritual. Like, well, just go out and you could give the gospel to anybody. If you're, hey, listen, young people, you want to be a missionary, just, you know, put the blindfold on, spin the tail in the world, amen, and wherever you end up at, just go. God will forgive you later if you weren't called. That's stupid talk. Paul in Acts 16 was headed to Asia, a man of God. And the Spirit of God said, "I forbid you to preach the gospel in Asia." Do you know what later the Apostle Paul talks about the churches in Asia and the churches in Bithynia, which is the second place he was going to go? You know what God wants you and I to do? He wants us to follow His direction. He wants us to follow His lead. Amen? And if we will let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts, if we'll quit being afraid to preach the gospel to people, I guarantee if you wake up tomorrow morning and ask the Lord to lead you to someone that He would have you talk to tomorrow, I guarantee you, you will be led to someone to speak to about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see the direction of the gospel. What about the miracle of the gospel? Look at verse 7, what Paul says in Ephesians 3, and then we'll move on and get in the second part. He says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power." Now I want you to think about that word minister for a moment. I've got to be honest with you. When I study, I like looking up words because I went to North Ridgeville High School. Amen? And I wish I could tell you. You know, they always tease about West Virginia, brother. Listen, man, I was raised in Cleveland Public Schools the first half of my educational life. Trust me, man, I have to study my words, amen. I don't assume to know everything about anything, amen. A man that knows everything can learn what? Nothing, amen. And so I look up the definitions. I don't assume. You know when the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them"? Do you know the word "offend" there has nothing to do with your feelings getting hurt in mine? The word "offend" means to cause to stumble. If you and I truly love the Word of God, and it's a vibrant part of our life, we're not going to stumble when people hurt us. Amen. When we get obstacles in our way, we're going to plow through. Why? Because our faith is based on the Word of God. If it was based on my little precious feelings getting hurt, I would have quit a long time ago. Amen. I'm a very sensitive creature sometimes. Amen. This word minister here means a waiter. You know what a waiter is, right? The guys that always want a tip because the restaurant pays them nothing. My brother-in-law always talks about he doesn't give tips out because they should pay him. I said, man, listen, that's not a good testimony. To me, it's not. Amen. You can do what you want, but I try to give him a tip. But what does a waiter do? One who executes the commands of another. Let me ask you something. Paul says here, whereof this gospel of Christ, in light of the fact that it's been opened to the Gentiles and the Spirit of God's leading him to the Gentiles, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. I want you to think about this, amen. There are two areas of the gospel that's amazing to me. Number one, it's amazing that the gospel saved me. That's pretty marvelous, don't you think? Saved me. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, O wretched man that I am, who's able to save me from the basically himself? You know, if you back up in chapter 7, you know what Paul's dealing with there? Paul's saying, hey, I find that in my members, that sometimes the things, that which I would do, I find I don't do. And Paul says, then I find that which I hate. In other words, sin in me. I find that which I hate, I do. Since you've been saved, have you ever noticed there's this struggle that goes on between the old man and the new man? Have you ever noticed that battle that goes on? It's not. Listen, the new nature, when you study it in the New Testament epistles and what its characteristics are, the new nature, as 1 John says, the new nature is that which loves God. The old man doesn't care about God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that my flesh is enmity. The word enmity means hostile. My flesh hates God and the things of God. So there's a battle that goes on. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who's able to save me? You know who saved Paul? Jesus Christ, by the same gospel that saved me. But not only in saving me, but in using me. Look what he says here in verse number 9. He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, the partnership of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, speaking along these lines of ministry, and he says this, I am crucified. You remember that scripture? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can I say to you this morning, before we move on and finish, we are stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's easy to read Ephesians 3:21 and say, yeah, we as a church want to bring glory to God. But you have to understand that a church is a body of believers. Each member of that church makes up that assembly. The word church is ecclesia. It means assembly, a called out, organized assembly. But an assembly, if we're not careful, is a place that we can hide in the numbers. But it's up to each one of us as members of a New Testament church. And the way God glory is brought unto the Lord is through Jesus Christ. But us being good stewards of the gospel that Jesus Christ has given us. Not only that, but go with me, if you will, back to Ephesians 3, chapter 3. And look at me at verse number 11 now. And I'm not going to read all the way down and then go back. We're going to just take it along as we go so we can finish here in a reasonable manner. Amen? But notice with me, stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what about stewards of the purpose of Christ for our lives? I've said this many times since I've been saved and grown up a little bit in the Lord. But it makes sense, right? You probably have heard preachers say something along these lines. If my only purpose in getting saved, and I'll never forget when this was personal to me, not just the preacher saying it and amen and we have the invitation and go home, but when it was personal to me, it really clicked and made sense. If God saved me just to go to heaven, then it'd almost be an injustice to leave me here. We're to be in the world, but we're not to be a part of the world. We're not to be conformed to this world. You with me? So why are we here? Because nowhere in this Bible, nowhere does it ever teach and emphasize that salvation is about going to heaven. Salvation, heaven is a part of the whole thing. But the purpose of being saved was to bring glory to God by us having a relationship with that God. Do you understand that heaven, if God vacated heaven, heaven would just be a place. God is what's special about heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is what's special about heaven. You don't have to wait till you die to enjoy the relationship that you have with God. He wants you to enjoy it right here. Amen? And so how do we do that? How do we bring glory to God through being a steward, stewards of the purpose that Christ has? If Christ has a purpose for my life, how do we bring glory to Him? Well, it's through Him. But first we've got to understand purpose. He says, according, verse 11, to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now think about this. The word purpose here means it's the idea of a setting forth of a proposal or an intention. In other words, God saved us for a purpose. Amen? If all we were saved for is just to go to heaven, that's fine. That would be God's purpose. But that purpose is so much more. Do you remember Paul talking about we are to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ? Do you remember that idea, that truth, that doctrine of being conformed to the image of Christ? Well, how do we take part of Christ? How do we bring glory to God through Christ in the idea of His purpose for our life? Well, you have to grab hold of the power of God and what God has allowed and brought into your life so that you can bring Him glory. And you'll understand it as we get into this now. Number one, think about this. How do we do this? We do it through the power of God, the power of Christ. First of all, He says in verse 12, in whom we have what? Boldness, and what's that word? Access with confidence by the faith of Him. Does that scripture sound familiar to you? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you this. Hebrews chapter 4. The greatest tool in the arsenal of any Christian, whether a pastor, whether a so-called full-time worker. We're all full-time workers, amen. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a full-time worker, whatever you want to categorize it as, the greatest weapon to the Christian at his disposal is what he talks about right here. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, verse 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, based on that truth, let us therefore come, what's that word? Boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now think about that scripture. If all grace is to you is a definition of God's riches at Christ's expense, if that's all grace means to you, some of this stuff doesn't make sense. How do you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's working in our lives. It's His influence, His moving, His directing, amen. Now, when you look at it that way, it makes sense that we are to grow in the grace, in the moving, in the working of God in our lives. Then you couple that with walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now you start to get this idea that God is at work in your life, and the grace of God wants to move and work. And here's what He says. You know where you find more grace in a time of need? On your knees at the throne of God. We don't pray anymore. We have prayer requests like pray the doctor has wisdom. What about praying that God heals people like the Bible talks about? What about praying? We don't pray. We get in the car and here's our kind of prayer. Lord, would you please get us to the place that we want to go safely? Did you ever think that as the Bible says in the book of James, that what our prayer ought to be and what Jesus taught in the model prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just don't pray. We come to God with the cancer. We come to God, our Father, when we have leukemia, when we have Lou Gehrig's disease, when we have diabetes. We come to God when financially we lose our job. But we don't understand. Those are side effects. Those are side issues compared to God's purpose in my life. His purpose is to bring glory unto Himself. I don't want cancer, but did you ever think that maybe God, we always say the devil, did you ever think that our sovereign Father, that maybe He brings this into our lives so that He can get glory through the situation? If you listen to Joel Osteen preach, I hope you don't, you'll think that sickness and disease and turmoil is all an attack of the devil. But did you know that God was the one that told Satan to do what you will with Job, but you can't touch his body? Then he said, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. Listen, if we are going to bring glory to Christ, or to our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to start taking and grabbing hold and accessing this thing that we have called prayer. Let me tell you something about prayer that is amazing. God. And preacher, you didn't know what I was preaching on today, but when you said what you said in the pulpit, that you were amazed that God spoke to you. You understand, Pastor, when he was a teenager, it wasn't that he thought he was better than everybody else. Amen? It wasn't that he thought he was the only person there, but he realized that God was speaking to him. You need to get past this. You got to honestly get past the forest so you can see a tree. You understand what I'm saying? You got to quit looking at the forest and start focusing on the tree. Amen? Listen, you're special to God. He saved you. This isn't Joel Osteen. He's a liar. That's motivational speaking. The Bible says you're special to God. And what this preacher said, he did more preaching in just a couple of statements. And if you listen, he gave you some of the Word of God. He's not even preaching today. Do you understand that God, if you come to this church and you hear the preaching of the Word of God, any church, anywhere, you hear God's Word preached, and it doesn't move you, it doesn't change you in some way, you got problems. Now, you don't ask what I think about that, because I think we've got churches with lost people in them sometimes that are not even saved. You can talk to a dead corpse at the funeral home, but it doesn't respond. Amen? We have the ability to come before His throne. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a charismatic, I guess. And I'm not. I just actually get excited, man. I just get excited. I think that's awesome. Do I pray? You say, oh, Brother Mayles, you hypocrite. Do you pray like you should? Oh, there's times I fail to pray. No doubt. But I'm just telling you the truth of the Word of God. You have access to the throne of God. And if you will take that access and you'll go to the throne of God and you'll talk to your Heavenly Father, He will grant petitions. He will give you the grace that you need. I've always said this. You know why I'm afraid to die? You say, you're afraid to die, Brother Mayles? I'll rephrase it this way. You know why I don't want to die at this particular moment? Because God's not ready for me to die and He's not giving me grace to do it. But you know what He will do when the time comes? He'll give me the grace to go through it. You say, preacher, I'm scared going out and witnessing to people like you're talking. What will I do? If you honestly will put the Lord first and listen to what He says and open your mouth, God will give you the grace to do it. Amen? Now, let's look at this. Second of all, moving on, the example of those that have gone on before. Look at verse 13, what He says in Ephesians 3:13. He gives the example of them that have gone on. He says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations. Paul says, hey, don't faint at my tribulations. Don't let that be a stumbling block, which is what? Your glory. You know what Paul's saying to them? He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Paul's saying, hey, you know what? My tribulations, don't faint at them. Don't grow weary in them. Don't let it discourage you. My tribulations are for your glory. Does the Bible not say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 6-12, you can look that up at home? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read it to you. Sometimes I think I'm in control, and God reminds me, you just read what I tell you. Amen? So we'll do that. I've got to live with the Lord today, so if I disobey Him, if I disobey Him and you get mad because I take an extra 5 minutes, you just stay mad at me. Amen? As long as you keep the support and the prayers coming, amen, we're good. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can laugh in church and have a good time. We're not going to make it a comedian act, amen? But you can actually smile and have fun in church. It's okay, amen? And when you're not smiling, preacher knows it's getting right to you, amen? Now look at 1 Corinthians 6. Let's just read this verse. We'll be done here in just a few moments. He says, chapter 10, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples. Now I hate to tell you this, but he's not talking about good things, okay? Look what he says. He says, these things are our examples, verse 6, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Speaking about Israel. Now look what he says. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. You know who the destroyer is, amen? The devil. Here's what I want to ask you. I want you to think about. God says, now these are the negative things. Do you think God loved David? Do you think God loved King David? He was the apple of God's eye. You know what that word means? It means the focus. God was focused in on David. Now let me ask you something. How many parents, Brother White, have you seen as a preacher being in the public? How many parents are always quick to tell you the great things about their kids? You know what? I've never seen. I played football for 17 years. I know a little bit about football. I promise you that. And I don't mean just watching it on TV and saying, Baker Mayfield, why didn't you throw the ball? I'll tell you why I didn't throw the ball. Because sometimes you don't throw into certain coverages. Amen. Here's what I'm going to say to you, though. I'm sorry, hon. Here's what I get down personal. I won't spit on you, though. Here's what's funny to me, right? Let me ask something. Let me get back to my... She threw me off because I threw her off, and now we're both thrown off. Amen. We're in trouble. Where was I at? Oh. Anyways. Oh, kids. Kids. Forget Baker Mayfield. I hope they don't lose today, but they probably will. Anyway. So listen. Parents. I coached football in Scotland. It was a good way, and I did it for fun, but I did it too. I got to meet a lot of kids. It's amazing how many parents come in. Oh, hey, coach. Scottish, right? That's why they talk that way. Hey, coach, I think my son would make a great quarterback, coach. Your son can't even see over the line of scrimmage. Amen? Oh, coach, I think if my son, if you'll coach him, he could play in the NFL, coach. People are dreaming, man. I'm telling you. It's amazing what people think. I've never heard parents say, oh, did you see little cutesy there? She can talk and say, count to 10 and all. She, yeah, but then little cutesy. They don't tell you. And I've got family members in the males family like this. Some of my siblings, their kids, if you listen to them, they don't do anything wrong. They must have kids from Mars, man, because my kids did a lot of things wrong. God loves David. And he loves the Old Testament prophets, and he loves the New Testament saints. But why does God tell us all the dirty laundry on them? Why did we read about? Why did we even have to read about David committing adultery with Bathsheba? Why couldn't we just stay on David and the Goliath and the giant and the stone and the chop in the head? Why couldn't we stay on that? Why couldn't we stay instead of Chapter 18, Elijah, and he's on Mount Carmel, and he calls down fire from heaven, and then he calls for the rain, and it comes. And why couldn't we just stay there and not go to chapter 19? and hear about him sitting in a cave feeling sorry for himself, thinking he's the only one left. Why couldn't we hear? Why do we have to hear that? For your examples. One thing I've always detested about man worship is, I understand, I got it. It's better that our kids worship, you know, their hero is a preacher, and I got that. But one thing I hate about man worship is, whenever you elevate someone, the average person feels they can never achieve that. Let me tell you something. We are all saved by the grace of God. We all, if you are saved, have the indwelling, the power that worketh in us. We all have the power of God working in our lives to bring glory to Christ. Hey, listen, these men, the examples of them that have gone on before, not just the good things, but also the negative things. Why? That we would learn and we could grow and we could bring glory to God. Let me say this. The individual dwelling of the Holy Ghost, he says in verse 16, he deals with the idea of the Spirit of God. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. But let me give you this last part here, and we'll be done. And I'm not trying to belittle the indwelling of the Spirit. I think I've talked about that already today, and what I think and what the Bible teaches, more importantly, on the importance of drawing our strength from the Spirit of God. But notice with me, the last thing here is this. He says in verse 17 through 21, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? What's that word? Love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Does that sound like a familiar portion of Scripture out of Romans? And to know the love of Christ. Man, get this. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know what the word perfect means whenever it's used in the New Testament? Actually, in the Old Testament, too. The word perfect. You ever have someone say, oh, you Baptists, you believe in eternal security. You guys believe that you have a license for sin. You believe... And I always say to them, so what do you believe in? Sinless perfection? You think that a... Have you sinned since you were saved? I have. But you know what? When the Bible deals, and they try to twist the Scriptures and say, well, perfect, perfect, perfect. Do you know what the word perfect means in the New Testament? It means mature or complete. It never means sinless. I'm always going to have sin. That's why Paul says in Romans 7 and 8, sin dwelt in him. He couldn't get rid of that old nature. The day will come when that happens. But right now, we're stuck with that thing, and it's a battle. Amen. But look what he says here. Think about this now. The love of Christ. Let me just say this. I'll read these to you and then we'll finish with a verse. You know what the love of Christ we have in the love of Christ? We have, through the love of Christ, there's a personal relationship that comes with this love. Personal relationship. Did you talk to God this morning yet? Forget God. That's what the whole universe, that's what all things anywhere, as far out as it spans. That's what they will call him. God. He's Jehovah. But to you and I, he's my Father. Have you talked to your Heavenly Father today? Or did you get up and get so busy with getting ready for church, you forgot the whole reason and the person that you're going to church for? Did you talk to him today? Have you experienced the relationship with him yet? If you're here right now and you're listening to the preaching of the Word, not Jim Mayles, not Pastor White, not Don Gassler, you're listening to the Word of God. And it's not phasing you? You're ready to go home? You're not enjoying a relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with Him? This relationship, this love of Christ comes with a... And then it comes with security. Security. Man, I'm not going to take you there, but Romans 8:35 deals with nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God, the love of Christ, nothing. I tell my wife this all the time. They can take our home, they can take our car, they can take everything, they can take her from me and me from her and separate us and throw us in jail somewhere, but they can never separate us from the love of God. And then lastly, the love of Christ comes with the power of God. I like what he says. I got to show you this last verse here. He says in verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding." That word means over and beyond. You probably knew that. But remember, I'm the guy that went to Cleveland schools at first. Abundantly. That means existing or occurring in large amounts. Now listen to what he says. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even what? Think. According to the power." This gets me excited. "The power that worketh in us." We're special. We really are. We weren't saved because we were special. We were saved, dirty, rotten, lumps of sinful clay by the grace of God. But He has made us special. God works in me. Brother, what you experience as a teenager, and you know this, is you experience after God saved you, the working, the power of God working in your life. That's why you live up here. You can laugh at West Virginia all you want, but it's some of the prettiest country in the world. It really is. And it may not be your cup of tea for a place you'd call home, but that's where He called home. I don't live in Nova Scotia because I hated North Ridgeville, because I hate Ohio. I live there because the power of God that works in me has led me. The love of Christ has given me a love for people that otherwise I would have never loved. The last verse is, "Unto Him be glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. World with that end. Amen. In the church. But how do we bring that glory to God? How does He get glory through us? It's by Christ Jesus. But how? By us being a good steward of the gospel that saved us and being a good steward with the purpose that God has for our lives. By enjoying the things that God has made accessible to us. You can't control by yourself who will be in the White House next year. You can't control that by yourself. You can't control whether or not China makes a deal with America on trade. Look at me. Am I right? Donald Trump doesn't give a hoot what you say. And neither does any world leader. You cannot control whether or not you'll get in a car and go down the road and die today. You'd have no control of that. But what you can control is this. You have a God that's in control. And if you will allow Him to work in your life, He will bring glory. Jesus Christ will bring glory to our Heavenly Father through Himself. All He wants us to do is be a vessel. Amen? And if He saved you, the power works in you, the Spirit of God, that can bring glory to the Father. Amen? Let's stand together, and I'm going to ask Brother White to come.